Greetings, salutations, welcome to the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode number 9, brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. My name is Chris Albrecht. I'm Director of Communications for the Diocese of Amarillo. I edit the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper, and I do a little radio show on GRN as well, every Friday at noon and re-encored Sundays at 4, and you can hear it on our diocesan website before it airs. So glad you can be with us this week. It's a somber kind of week in the Catholic Church as we reflect on the life of our 266th successor to the chair of St. Peter, Pope Francis, who passed away on April 21st. This week's program is dedicated to his memory. Please pray for the repose of his soul, but also please pray for the cardinals as they prepare for the conclave that will be coming up very, very soon to elect his successor. And keep it on Catholic-centered media such as AmarilloDiocese.org, WestTexasCatholic.org, EWTN, and so forth to keep up with the true story of what's going on with the passing of Pope Francis and the conclave that is going on in Rome here in the next couple of weeks. Our guest on this week's program is Deacon Daryl Dixon. He is at St. Thomas the Apostle Church, a member of the Diaconate Class of 2020, and he's also very instrumental in Kobe Prison Ministry. We're going to ask him about his diaconate story, and it's an interesting one, I can tell you that. And we'll talk about Kobe Prison Ministry and how you men in our diocese can be involved with Kobe Prison Ministry. Plus, we'll get you up to date with all kinds of diocesan news as well. But first, if you'll assume an attitude of prayer, let us pray for religious liberty, something we should never take for granted and always look to strengthen in our church, world, and society. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, Father of all nations, for freedom you have set us free in Christ Jesus. We praise and bless you for the gift of religious liberty, the foundation of human rights, justice, and the common good. Grant to our leaders the wisdom to protect and promote our liberties. By your grace, may we have the courage to defend them for ourselves and for all those who live in this blessed land. We ask this through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, our patroness, and in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit with whom you live and reign, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. My dime's worth of opinions, not necessarily those of the Diocese of Amarillo, Cap'n, the Office of Communications, and, well, really anybody, but some should be. Continue to pray for favorable weather for our farmers and ranchers. Boy, they need some rain on this wheat crop so they can make a great yield out of this in June and July. So please pray for our farmers and ranchers that they get the rains that they need to grow the crops that continue to feed and clothe not just us here in the Texas Panhandle or the United States, but the entire world. Keep in prayer those in need of prayer, the poor, the homeless, the unemployed, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the oppressed, the hungry, the thirsty, the discerning, the uncertain, the disturbed, and the discerning. We mentioned that twice anyway. And pray for an increase of vocations to the priesthood and religious life. Please pray for our three outstanding seminarians, Deacon Mauricio Valadez, Richard Escalante, Benjamin Siegel. Please pray for the 8 men and their families who are finishing up, we hope, by the grace of God, their studies for the permanent diaconate, and they will be ordained to the diaconate by the end of the year. And go to AmarilloVocations.org for more information about vocations here in the Diocese of Amarillo. To our healthcare workers and first responders, thanks. We appreciate all that you do for us. And keep up with all the diocesan news. In fact, we are so glad to announce WestTexasCatholic.org, after being sidelined for 14 and a half months, is back and running and better than ever. Go to WestTexasCatholic.org for all the latest diocesan news, plus news from the Vatican, National Catholic Register, and maybe we'll get the photo albums up there eventually. Maybe not. If you want to see the photo albums, you can go to AmarilloDiocese.org under the photo albums header. We have pictures from the Jubilee of Hope inauguration masses that took place in the last couple of weeks, plus Chrism Mass, and the Holy Cross Catholic Academy Class of 2026 got their senior rings during Holy Week. We have pictures of that for you as well. A couple of other quick reminders before we bring Deacon Daryl Dixon into the building. Our diocesan website, we told you about all that. Go to Facebook and like us. We're at Amarillo Diocese. We do throw a post a few times there as well. Newest issue of the West Texas Catholic, the newspaper will be dated Sunday, May 4th. Digital versions will be going out as a flock note Monday, April 28th. A limited number of hard copies will be available at parishes the weekend of May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th while they last. And you can also pick up a hard copy here at the Diocesan Pastoral Center at 4512 Northeast 24th Avenue here in Amarillo while copies at last. And also, you'll find it at westtexascatholic.org on the website there. By the way, advertising deadline for the next issue, dated May 18th, is Monday, May 5th at 5 p.m. Deadline for copy, story, and photo ideas, Thursday, May 8th at noon. This is our graduation issue. It's already done and ready to go, and we congratulate all the members of the class of 2025. And some of the wiser people here at the Diocesan Pastoral Center were asked to offer their words of reflection for the class of 2025, and you will find those in the graduation issue as well. Our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 9, brought to you by Cap'n, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo, is a deacon at St. Thomas the Apostle Church, and since the passing of Deacon Andy Gonzalez last August, has kind of taken the bull by the horns, if you will, to use a Texas analogy, of Kobe Prison Ministry here in the Diocese of Amarillo. Deacon Daryl Dixon is our guest. Deacon Daryl, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it, man.
Oh, you're very welcome. Glad to be here.
A native of Amarillo? Where'd you grow up at?
I grew up in Wichita, Kansas, but I've been residing here in Amarillo for almost 40 years now.
What brought you here to Amarillo?
Well, I used to work for Hastings when they were still in operation and traveled around and ended up here and worked for them at their corporate office in the store planning and construction department.
How many years were you with Hastings?
I was with them for 26 years.
Wow. And I miss those guys, too. I hate to admit it. I miss those guys.
Yeah, I run into people every now and then, and I bring up Hastings, and they says, oh, we loved them. I hated to see them go. I says, yeah, we did, too. But all things changed.
Everything changes. And you were able to rub shoulders with quite a few big wigs in the celebrity world. Yes. And I guess Garth Brooks has an affinity or had an affinity for Hastings once upon a time.
Yes, Garth Brooks was a very big supporter. Of course, Hastings broke his first album for him in our store in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And from then, he just kind of took it off with the charts. And he always kind of had a special gratitude to the Marmadukes and to Hastings for helping launch his career. So we got to see some of his concerts.
I'll bet you did. And the man does put on a whale of a show.
Yes.
He was at the old De La Villa, I think it was, 1997, July of that year. And the concert got delayed for about 45 minutes because they didn't ratchet all the screws in the bleachers in. Yeah, but he put on a whale of a show for about almost 3 hours that night. So great to hear more about Garth. So Hastings comes to an end. What happens next to Daryl Dixon?
Well, I ventured into a couple different opportunities. I sold cars for a little bit and met a lot of people in the public and stuff. And went into, with my construction background and planning, went into working for a company who does the fuel tanks and systems for gas stations all over the country. And actually, I ended up in working for another fuel company. It's called Valero. And at our payment credit card center. Okay. I've been with them for almost 6 years now.
Well, fantastic. Deacon Daryl Dixon, our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast, episode 9, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo and brought to you by Cap'n. So you were ordained to the permanent diaconate on the Feast of the Assumption, August 15th, 2020. What led you to pursuing the permanent diaconate? Who was the one that kind of pushed you or encouraged you to take that leap?
Well, it's kind of a unique story. When we first moved to here to Amarillo in 91, we went to St. Thomas, and I got to know Monsignor Tash very well, and he encouraged, you need to get involved with ministry and helping out here. So very early on, even though I had a young family, was ushering and doing many things. So over the course of the years, I just kind of expanded my ministry and serving there at St. Thomas, and he encouraged us a little bit, but it really took place more after his passing that Father Scott came in and started a program that's called For Master Servers. And it's like, okay, well, I've been serving with everything else. Let's try this out. And it just felt very natural and comfortable being up there at the altar and helping as a master server. Well, Deacon Blaine Westlake approached me one time. He says, you know, have you ever thought about the diaconate? You seem very comfortable up here and you're serving in so many different roles. I go, well, I hadn't really thought about it. So he gave me some information and I kind of thought it over in about a year and just kind of kept discerning. And he kept kind of asking me and a couple of other people. And then finally I says, well, let me consider a little bit more. Well, I got talked into from a good friend that goes to St. Thomas, Joel Schilling. You need to attend an ACTS retreat. I says, okay, I'll attend an ACTS retreat. And I says, well, I'm going to go and see if this ACTS retreat gives me a calling or lets me some idea on where I need to go with this diaconate. Okay. It was that ACTS retreat that I went to that I met Deacon Andy. He was our spiritual director at the time. So I visited with him a little bit, and he encouraged me. And it was during that retreat it really opened up, and during our silent time of contemplation and reflection, that I received that calling to pursue the diaconate. And at that point, I started the diaconate formation.
How did your wife, Nina, react to all that?
You know, she was very open to it. She kind of knew that something was going on because of my, you know, involvement with so many things at the church and everything. And she was actually, she was very on board. Our children were getting older and they were in high school age. And she was like, well, this may be, it's a good time and a way that we can continue to grow in our faith and strengthen our marriage to serve the church.
What brings you the most satisfaction in being a permanent deacon here in the Diocese of Amarillo?
Well, the biggest thing is that to serve. And as a deacon, our ordination gives us the ministry to serve as Christ came not to be served, but to serve. And in serving the people at St. Thomas, or my parish family, and then since I reached out into the Colby ministry, just being able to serve and to help not only grow my faith, but help others in their faith and understanding it. It has been a very humbling experience for me getting into the prison ministry program, but just to serve and to help and just to be so active with the church.
And we'll get into Colby Prison Ministry, but one more question about the diaconate. You break open the Word of God beautifully, and I've heard you preach on numerous occasions. What method do you use to put a homily together? Is there a certain thing like, okay, I'm going to sit down and put this together, or when inspiration strikes, that's when you start writing?
Well, I look at the reading that we're assigned for. We have different Sundays that we're assigned to do. I look at what those readings are, reflect on those readings, and then I try to just get whatever information out there. I look for quotes from saints that may tie into that reading, and then some of it is just personal experiences that I've experienced either through the prison ministry or just in my life in general, and just kind of start to put ideas together. Kind of do a little research online and kind of get some additional other topics and ideas, and then just kind of mold them all together.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing with Colby Prison Ministry. I take it Deacon Andy's the reason you're doing Colby Prison Ministry, right?
Yes, how I got involved with that was, you know, during the diaconate formation, as a candidate, you have to pick a ministry outside of your parish to serve. And so there was different ones that were going on, and Deacon Andy came and talked to us, the group, and talked about prison ministry. And I thought, well, I think I'll try that and just see. And from the first time I went in and attended, I knew it was for me. I felt complete comfortable around the inmates, the men that were there, and felt a quick connection to be able to share the faith with them. So it just felt natural, and I've just been with it ever since then.
The second Colby Prison Ministry Retreat of the Year coming up?
Yes.
Thursday, May 15th through Saturday, May 17th, we're at the Jordan Unit of the Texas Department of Criminal Justice in Pampa. And I know you could use some volunteers, especially since we've got formation meetings going on right now, correct?
Yes, we do. We have a good core of volunteers that help us out, but we serve five different units within the Texas Panhandle. So we can definitely use volunteers. We follow the ACTS formation process. Not quite the 13 weeks that they do, but we're about 6 to 7 weeks. And so any volunteers that would love to get out there and try something different, a different type of a ministry, especially if they've been looking for some way to serve in a capacity that not everybody gets the opportunity to, Colby Prison Ministry is an ideal way to do that. And the lives that you touch, the men that you encounter, not only change your lives, but you're changing theirs as well.
You know, during Lent, we always hear step out of your comfort zone, do something that you've never done before. This is a perfect example, folks, of something you can do, and you can't use the term, well, it's not Lent. Doesn't make a difference if it's Lent or not Lent. Step out of your comfort zone and try something different. Colby Prison Ministry is a good step for a lot of men. And we're looking especially for those that are Knights of Columbus members, yes, those that have gone through an Acts retreat, and members of the Curcio movement, correct?
Yes, yes, any of those. And, you know, we'll take some, we've even taken some men in that haven't done that, that would come in and they attend kind of as a retreatant to get the feel for it and just to make sure that it's something that they're comfortable with. We've had several men that have joined our group and says, well, I'll try it out and see. And they've kept coming ever since.
You haven't gotten rid of them.
They haven't gotten rid of them. They want to keep joining and stuff. So
you told us before we started, you've done between 40 and 50 Colby Prison Ministry retreats. Wow.
Yeah.
There have got to be some moments that have just absolutely tugged at the heartstrings or had you walking out of the unit at the end of the retreat with that memory still blazed in your mind, right?
Yes. There's, you know, every retreat, there is always something that unique that happens. You end up working with some men that, you know, they've struggled for whatever reasons they've had, and you see the change in them from the day one that we start the retreat to the end. And when they come up to you and say, you know, I've been moved by the Holy Spirit. I felt something different here. And they go, I've fallen away from the church. I want to get back in. So you know at that moment that your work is doing what the Lord wants and you're moving those people. You know, we have different parts of the retreat that are very moving when they start to share and when they come up afterwards and say, you know, you talked or told me something that I didn't learn or didn't know about before that I learned, and I have a complete different understanding of the Catholic faith.
Wow. Deacon Daryl Dixon, our guest on the West Texas Catholic, the podcast episode 9, brought to you by Cap'n. And powered by the Diocese of Amarillo. One thing we need to mention about Colby Prison Ministry, this is a corporal work of mercy.
Yes, it is. Corporal works of mercy. And not only that, but, you know, there's over 30 Bible verses that talk about visit the imprisoned. You know, Matthew 25:36, it says, I was naked and you clothed me, I was sick and you visited me, and I was in prison and you came to me. So it's a very good way to, one, to humble ourselves, but how we are to pick up our cross and to help those and to follow Christ. And, you know, by doing this, it's not only humbling, but it's a good way to step out of your boundaries and try something that's new and reach men in our prison system that are longing for this companionship and for the spreading of the Word of God.
When I've gone with Bishop Zurich on confirmation trips to our units throughout the Panhandle, because I've been to Pampa, I've been to Childress, I've been to both units in Amarillo when they were both open, just to watch these brothers in white open up, it's incredible. You walk out of there just, wow. But there's a lot of them that are still being ignored, unfortunately, and we need to pray for them. And that's why we need men to step up and be members of this Colby Prison Ministry here in the Diocese of Amarillo.
Yes, yes, we do. Because a lot of these men come from broken families. A lot of them share their stories of, you know, not having a father figure around. And when we come in and minister to them and just spend time and show them the love of Jesus Christ and listen to them, they feel that they're no longer alone or by themselves, and that there is some hope and some opportunities for them. And like I said, most of all the men volunteers, you know, we usually try to say, you know, it's not as much as what they get out of it. We get as much out of the retreat when we go in and serve them as they do.
Team formation meetings for the next retreat, which is Thursday, May 15th through Saturday, May 17th at the Jordan Unit in Pampa, are going on right now. Tuesday nights, 6:30 until 8:30 in the parlor at St. Thomas the Apostle Church at 4100 South Coulter. Guys, this is a great opportunity to minister, because God will never forget your ministry to those in need of ministry. People need to know more about Colby Prison Ministry. Maybe they'd like to volunteer. First off, give us your phone number, but also, maybe you'd like to help out with a financial gift to keep Colby Prison Ministry going in the Diocese of Amarillo.
My number is 806-290-8842, and can call and I can give you additional information regarding Colby Formation meetings or upcoming retreats that we have. a lot of times, you know, we serve five different units. So there's probably one that's out there in a time of the year that may work for you to be able to help. And if you're not able to help as far as an actual volunteering, we can take monetary donations that will help us to put on these prison ministries. And those can be sent to the Colby Prison Ministry, Amarillo at P.O. Box 4125 here in Amarillo, Texas at 79116. And also for those who are not familiar with the Colby Prison Ministry Program, Colby does have a website. It's called colbyprisonministries.org, and get information as far as the history on when Colby Prison Ministry started in South Texas and how it has grown into four different states now. And you can also get information about how to volunteer and support the program.
And Colby is spelled K-O-L-B-E. It's named after St. Maximilian Colby. And his story, seriously, if you've never read his story, you need to read his story. His story is amazing. So please look into that. Deacon Daryl Dixon, our guest with Colby Prison Ministry. He's a deacon at St. Thomas the Apostle Church here in Amarillo. Final word in the conversation is yours, Deacon Daryl. Anything else you want to add?
Well, for those out there listening, we definitely would like to have any of you who would like to help us on our prison ministry program and to come and join us. If you're not quite sure or if this is something for you, come and visit us at some of our formation meetings and come on a retreat one time, even if it's just for one day, to get that experience. And I know that you'll be touched and moved by what you see and experience. So we'd love to have you join us.
Let's wrap up this edition of the podcast, episode number 9, powered by the Diocese of Amarillo and brought to you by Cap'n, with a couple of pieces of diocesan news. Franciscan Sisters of Mary Immaculate invite all young women in the Diocese of Amarillo between the ages of 15 and 25 to encounters at the Franciscan Convent. That's at 4301 Northeast 18th Avenue in Amarillo, Saturday afternoons between 3 and 5. Now, if you're under 18 years of age, you need to bring a permission note from a parent. The encounters are bilingual. They will include a number of activities, including prayer, sharing of experiences, adoration, worship, pastries, crafts, discussion of themes relevant to young women, and other activities. Call the Franciscan Sisters of Mary Immaculate for all the details, 806-383-5769. Volunteers still needed at BSA Hospital as communion ministers. If you need to know more, Elma Fletcher is your lady with all the answers, 806-206-4496. Paul J. Kim, one of the keynote presenters at DCYC 2014, will be back in the Diocese of Amarillo Friday, May 9th, presenting a talk to the youth of the diocese at St. Peter and Paul Church, again at 915 Maddox in Dumas. All youth groups throughout the diocese are encouraged to attend. If you need to know more, get in touch with Yesenia Longoria, 806-206-0123. We are asking for RSVP, so we make sure we've got plenty of food to feed teens. And as you and I all know, there's never enough food to feed a group of teens. The next worship, prayer, movie night for teens and young adults also on Friday, May 9th. That's brought to you by the Franciscan Sisters of Christ the Light. That will begin at 6 o'clock in the St. Francis House of Prayer at 125 John Paul Circle in Panhandle with a holy hour of praise and worship music, prayer, and a brief time of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Activities will wrap up at 9:30. This is open to Catholics and non-Catholics alike. If you need to know more, call the wonderful sisters of the Franciscan Sisters of Christ the Light at Sancta Maria Convent, 806-537-3182. Wednesday, May 7th is your deadline to get tickets for a Mother's Day prayer brunch on Saturday, May 10th, 10 a.m. until noon, Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center, 2100 North Spring here in Amarillo. As in the past, the prayer brunch is a ticketed event. The tickets are $20 apiece. You can get them online at bdrc.org/mothers-day-prayer-brunch. I think I'm done with dashes, or Top of Texas Catholic Superstore, 2500 South Coulter. Entry is by ticket only. Tickets will not be sold at the door. Find out more by calling the Retreat Center, 806-383-1811. The 42nd Annual Jerry Harpole Memorial Scholarship Golf Tournament takes place Saturday, May 17th on the Wild Horse Course at the Ross Rogers Golf Complex at 722 Northeast 24th Avenue, just down the street from us. Tournament kicks off at 7 a.m. Entry fee for the four-man scramble, $125 per golfer. That's $125 per golfer. And there's also a golfer's dinner Friday, May 16th, an awards dinner following the completion of play. Need to know more? Want to play? Want to sponsor?
Get in touch with Sean Sade, 806-316-6727. Hey, couples, if you're planning to get married in the next 3 to 6 months, you must attend a natural family planning course, and you must also attend an engaged encounter weekend. The next one, Saturday, May 17th, Sunday, May 18th at the Bishop DeFalco Retreat Center, again, 2100 North Spring here in Amarillo. Need to know more? Adrian Johnson has all the details, 806-410-3839. Knights of Columbus Council, 1450 at St. Mary's Cathedral, hosting a pancake breakfast Sunday, May 18th in the Monsignor Francis A. Smyer Activity Center at 1200 South Washington here in Amarillo. Cost of the breakfast is a love offering, all proceeds supporting charitable donations and projects that are sponsored by Council 1450. In other news, the annual brisket dinner at St. Martin de Porres Church here in Amarillo, also on Sunday, May 18th, 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. That's in the Parish Hall at the corner of 16th and North Adams. Tickets $15 for adults, $5 for children 12 and under. Advance tickets can be purchased from any parish member at St. Martin de Porres Church. And Visa, MasterCard, and debit cards will be accepted for payments. They're having a drawing. First prize, $300. Second prize, $200. Third prize, $100. And these are cash prizes, by the way. Tickets for the drawing, $5 each, and you can get those during the dinner. Need to know more? Call the always dependable Robin Woolsey, 806-672-7211. Couple of quick notes, and they involve Susan Garner's neck of the woods here, which would be the archivist in the museum. The Diocesan Museum and Archives invites you to attend an evening of relics Thursday, May 22nd, 6 to 8, St. Lucian's Chapel. That's next to the Capuchin Monastery at 4201 Northeast 18th Avenue here in Amarillo. The evening giving the faithful the opportunity to see a number of relics that are on display housed at the Diocesan Museum and Archives here at 4512 Northeast 24th Avenue. And there's also going to be a number of relics owned by Father Richard Zanetti, JCL, the pastor at St. Hyacinth's Church. Need to know more? Call Susan Garner. She has the details, 806-414-1076. And finally, a reminder, because we know you can't do this in hours unless you're really, really good, and if you are, God bless you for that. The Diocesan Museum and Archives, once again, seeking painters for participation in an art show, which is Thursday, July 24th. It'll be here at the Diocesan Museum inside the Pastoral Center, 4512 Northeast 24th Avenue. Theme of the art show, Scenes from the Bible. Paintings will be accepted for this year's show, please. No mixed mediums. Top prize, by the way, is $3,000. Second prize, $1,500. Third prize, $500. Winning painting becomes the property of the Diocesan Museum and will be put on display. Now, paintings must be received by Wednesday, July 23rd, so keep that date in mind as you get to work. And paintings will be judged from 6 to 8 p.m. during the art show itself on the 24th. Again, the paintings must depict a scene from the Bible. Need to know more? Susan Garner's telephone number again, 806-414-1076. Well, if you have comments, suggestions, maybe you'd like to help underwrite the cost of capping. If you're interested or you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address, stcapn at dioama.org. Spelling it out, stcapn at dioama.org. I would be remiss if I didn't close out this program by mentioning to you an opportunity to support the Catholic media at the box office. A documentary film, Carlo Acutis, Roadmap to Reality, is coming in Amarillo Sunday, April 27th through Tuesday, April 29th. This will be at the Cinemark Hollywood 16. That's at 9100 Canyon Expressway here in town. Showtime, Sunday at 4. And Monday and Tuesday evenings, both at 7 p.m. The film, Carlo Acutis, Roadmap to Reality, explores how Carlo's spirituality guided him through the digital age, offering insights into the intersection of technology and humanity from well-known Catholic voices and technology experts. By the way, the people to be grateful for this movie besides God is Castletown Media. The film is a production of Castletown Media and Jim Wahlberg in association with the National Eucharistic Congress Incorporated and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame. The Congress has embraced the film as part of their work to spread devotion to and belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, which was very central in Carlo Acutis' life. Need to purchase tickets? We hope you will. Go to this website, carloacutisfilm.com/buy-ticket. Hey, folks, the more we go to movies like this, the more they'll make movies like this. We need to support movies like this when they come out and afterwards, even if you have to buy the DVD or buy the stream or whatever you have to do, do it to support Catholic media and Christian films. We need more of them. And since Pope Francis passed away on April 21st, the canonization for Carlo Acutis was supposed to take place on April 27th, has been postponed, and we'll let you know when the new date takes place. And that's going to wrap up another edition of the West Texas Catholic, the podcast. We hit double digits with the next one, episode number 10. And we're going to spend some time with some folks that are really, really good at Catholic education. Craig Logan, the principal at Holy Cross Catholic Academy, and Kim Lackey, who is the principal at St. Mary's Cathedral School in Amarillo. Have a blessed Easter season. He has risen. Alleluia, alleluia. And remember, abortion is not and never will be health care. Viva Cristo Rey.